Good morning.
So Hawaii is a small island state of approximately 1.4 million persons. We have a high measles vaccination rate historically. According to the National Immunization Survey, 93% of our 19 to 35-month-olds received their first MMR, and 90% of our 13 to 17-year-olds received their second MMR. However, data from schools is suggesting a rise in vaccine non-medical exemptions across the state in our entering kindergartners, which is a concern. Measles is infrequently seen in Hawaii. Historically, we've had very small case numbers, and cases have always been imported with limited secondary spread. Seen here is a graph showing confirmed measles cases by onset date in Hawaii from 2004 through spring 2014. On the x-axis, you have the onset date, and on the y-axis, you have the number of cases. So, on October 14, 2014, the Hawaii Department of Health, or HDOH, was notified of a single measles case on the island of Maui. 3 days later, on October 17th, we were notified of a cluster of measles cases on the island of Kauai. Not 2 weeks after that, we were notified of another measles case on the island of Maui that was epidemiologically unrelated to the first case. And on November 6th and November 12th, we were notified of 2 cases on the island of Oahu who, as far as we know, were unrelated either to each other or to the prior cases. For each of these cases, an epidemiologic investigation and contact tracing was initiated. Prophylaxis was offered when indicated. Serology and PCR for measles was performed. And serology was sent off to CDC when available for genotyping. Seen here is an EPI curve depicting the confirmed measles cases by onset date in Hawaii during fall 2014. Again, on the x-axis is the onset date, and on the y-axis is the number of cases. Our investigation showed us that we had multiple distinct introductions of measles to Hawaii during this time. We had 3 co-incident index cases and a group of travelers to Indonesia and Malaysia, and all associated cases to that cluster are shown here in yellow. We had another introduction in a traveler to the Philippines, and all associated cases with that cluster are shown here in orange. And then we had a third introduction in a traveler to Disneyland. And now this is not associated with the larger measles outbreak associated with Disneyland later in 2014. And those cases with unknown or multiple exposures are shown here in gray. We were able to obtain genotyping for some of our samples, which showed genotype D8 for our Indonesia and Malaysia cluster, B3 for our Philippines cluster, and D8 for our Disneyland traveler. Our investigation highlighted the changing epidemiology of measles cases in Hawaii, as our cases were predominantly adults. We had 1 6-month-old case, but the rest were all 18 to 53 years old. We had more extensive secondary spread, which is related to the fact that nearly 2/3 of our cases were unvaccinated or didn't know their status. We did have 5 vaccinated cases, one of whom was a healthcare worker who'd received 5 vaccine doses. 3 were adult non-healthcare workers who received 1 or more doses of a measles-containing vaccine, and 1 was a healthcare worker who'd only been vaccinated once. So, in conclusion, the risk of measles introduction still persists. In Hawaii, we had at least 3 introductions in a 5-week period. More frequent outbreaks are likely, especially in the context of rising vaccine exemption rates. And the epidemiology of measles is changing. Cases may be older and may occur in enclaves of unvaccinated individuals. And we're now facing a quandary. How do we assure true immunity after vaccination? Questions are arising regarding healthcare worker immunity. MMRs administered in childhood and titers drawn long after the fact aren't going to distinguish between non-responders or someone who's going to mount an anamnestic response. And there are a paucity of data to guide decision-making. Now, in Hawaii, we were lucky, likely due to high vaccination rates and a rapid public health response, and we continue to monitor for the next event.